radio
and stuff. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, worm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I bother when Randy's on.
Let's do the intro.
What? I'll do the intro.
All right. I like the intro.
If I can pull it up here, because you know.
This is it.
Oh, not even close.
It's horrible.
It's Windows. That's why it takes forever. So.
Oh, don't give me that.
It's Windows. It's the software, not the operator.
They're all bad.
So, trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technological tabulations, helping to sacralize those senses to the salacious songs of liberty. Can you feel that salacious song? Can you hear it? Michael Dean?
No.
And
no. Not at all.
I no. thought I would never hear it. Where have you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So. I heard it a couple weeks ago. It's fading again, though.
Oh, yes. Yes. I think this is the first time I've been on since that catastrophe.
But
I think you guys have beat that one to death, so I'm just going to leave that right there.
You had to stand in the corner for participating in that, even though it wasn't your fault. Oh, wait, it was your fault. You said it was your fault.
Oh, yeah, it's all my
fault. The bad audio.
Totally.
The bad audio that never got to make it onto the Fiends show.
So wait, yeah. I am curious though. Did Jeremy tell you what actually happened? We finally figured it out.
I kept trying to. He never actually let me.
I don't know.
Make it up.
Okay.
I never got to get it out. I was listening to that show again today. I was like, yeah, he never let me say it.
Okay. So I want to tell you because it's a learning.
I'm gonna mute this because you're really excited and it's making your audio bad in my brain. Go ahead.
You're killing me. All right.
No, man.
So it was the Hertz frequency setting. You know how when you record, you usually set to 44K or, you know, 48. It was set to 1150.
That's
so
funny. Okay,
yeah,
part of it.
Well, that's the reason. Because
wait, are you talking about the recording or the encoding of the MP3? The recording itself.
No.
The actual source recording.
Yep.
So it's pretty much impossible to fix that. Like you said, I know you said you tried to fluff it up and everything, but when the source is that low, there's really
not much
you can do.
That's why I said garbage in, garbage out, and without even knowing that in particular. And Jeremy said, "No, I can do magic." And then
I never said your homework. No, my murder dog.
You said you
dog
could
didn't.
Make it listenable. You can't make an 11K.
I did because
file
I thought listenable. We still. I still because at that point I still thought we had the source one. But Chandler and I tried to get it. That's when it disappeared. Yeah, it disappeared in
you
the
conveniently,
transit.
Conveniently lost it.
Well, no. Technically, you know what's really weird about Adobe, not Adobe, Audacity. When you record a file, it saves in chunks. And it doesn't have any stamps to it. Like, because I've used Audition and a few other programs, and it just saves the raw file in one file. So it's much easier to work with. So, yeah, you know, we can't really fault Jeremy for that, man. He tried. We both sat there and tried to piece that thing together.
We spent a couple of hours the other day working on that, and it just drove us both insane. And
So the lesson I learned from this whole awesome experience. I learned a couple of things. One, set up your gear before you start, because when you're with friends and you're at Porkfest and you're having a good time, it's probably not a good idea to set up later. And, you know, just check the settings, because programs, man.
I left the room for a while to go kiss my wife. I was like, I don't need to hear this crap. This is just excuses.
Oh, here we go.
You know, actually,
you didn't miss anything. It was more of the two audio stooges.
Yeah, the two stooges.
Thanks,
if you
Randy.
Really think
Randy,
you
come on,
it.
Man, you're supposed
here's,
to have
here's
our
my
back.
Suggestion. If you really think you could fix it,
we were friends,
you
Randy.
Should try it from the audio I posted. Because all I did was normalized it. So it's the same it's the same audio. The only difference is the volumes are a little less disparate between the people. So it's actually the same audio, but better. So go ahead if you want to take that from the Fiend's blog and Fluff and Folder.
Oh no, no, I still have that file that you got sent. I have. We were trying to get the source file back because with the source file there was still a chance that more could be done with it. And that was the problem. Once I sent it to Chandler and
sent
it to
you. Which murder dog ate it?
No murder dog ate it. My Windows 10 computer.
That's the murder dog.
Oh, Bill Gates ate it. Yes. Okay.
I don't know because I sent it to you. I sent it to Chandler, and then all of a sudden, when we tried to send it back, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work in Audacity anymore.
Yeah. I love when you do this because the audience hearing this? All they're hearing is just, oh man, this guy's making more excuses.
Yeah, that's funny because I got a lot more people saying the opposite.
You've inspired T-shirts, stickers, and buttons.
I inspired it. Okay.
That say bad audio is a hate crime. That's gonna be like, that's gonna be remembered more than the Freedom Fiends. Like 50 years from now, like there'll still be some Freedom Fiends shared on the torrents or whatever replaces the torrents. But everyone is gonna be wearing the shirts that say bad audio is a hate crime. You know, it has my face on it, and it's a quote of me saying it. But maybe it should be your face. I'm humble enough that I don't need to have my face on a button. I could have your face on a button, but then it wouldn't be a quote. It would be like across your forehead, like tattooed on your forehead in the picture.
That's not being humble, Michael.
Poster child.
You like to use words.
I didn't even think we were going to talk about this tonight. Do you guys want to keep talking about this? You want to move
on? We're done.
I'll talk about it. I will talk about it for 2 more hours. If you want to reheat the beans and rice.
I didn't want to reheat anything. You insist on attacking.
No. We'll do a podcast about that. We'll come on and post an extra podcast.
And it'll sound horrible.
Record it. And
I was trying to follow up what Chandler said with what I learned, but no, you just have to keep digging in. I learned that I'm not using Audacity anymore because thanks to Chandler, I'm now going to be using Audition to do all my recording and all of my work.
I don't know, though, because thousands of people every day use Audacity to record great-sounding podcasts.
I've recorded with Audacity before, but again, whenever I used Audacity in the past, it was set to 44. I never touched that. How it got set to 11 that day, and again, I had nothing to do with it. I turned my computer on.
I had my spies sneak in and change it. You guys were looking at it tripping.
That's what it was. You were just trying to create. You always say conflict is the essence of drama. So yeah. I blame you, man.
Yeah,
it was you and your spies.
MK Lords did it while you guys weren't looking.
MK Lords did it.
Wow.
Okay. Oh wait, no, Davy Barker. She wasn't there, huh?
No.
Davy Barker did it.
Considering nobody was tripping that night. And the two people that were in charge of ones, like I said, all I did was turn my computer on, put the password on, and handed it off to Hugo and Lou because they were the two sober ones.
I paid his ticket to fly in from Mexico City for 4 hours and mess you guys up and leave.
Sounds reasonable. Yeah.
So hashtag please donate because I'm broke now.
Which completely exonerates me.
Yeah.
No, because you should have checked it. You ready?
I admit
it,
but see, that was the thing. I admit it.
I'll do it for 2 hours, man.
Yes, we know.
I'll do it for 20 hours. Hey,
haven't you?
Wait, you want to move on or not?
Almost.
I'm about to move on, but you're pulling me back just when you thought you were out of the
Everybody
bad
said
audio.
Yeah. Everybody says yes, and he keeps going.
So, Randy, have you downloaded and installed the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app yet on Android?
No, after listening to 3 or 4 shows about that, I didn't think there was anything else to be learned.
Am I going to hell for that? I want to know. He's in a Catholic cemetery, and I'm trying to send people to his grave to smoke weed on it.
I don't know what that would have to do with anything.
Okay, good.
I don't. Is this an app that you made yourself?
Yeah. Well, with help from Derek J, because he found the GG. Well, and like Chandler and Diana.
No, not me.
Jeremy.
Chandler was taking a nap.
But what about before this, and you know, no offense or anything, but like apps that do like one little thing that you could do with a website, like suck, don't they?
Ooh.
Oh, Shots fired.
Wow. Shots fired.
No, I mean, I mean, really. I mean,
if I made an app that does one little thing. If I made an app that the only thing it did was like allowed you to read like the first three chapters of Randy's book for free and then sent you to Amazon to buy it, would you say the same thing about it?
Well, of course I would. What if you made an app that all you could hear on it was tonight's episode?
This app does other things. This app also there's a link for video for Grave video. There's a door to Grave navigation. Then there's a how to use the door to Grave navigation.
Well,
it's worth the price. I should have
downloaded it because obviously I was too harsh in my evaluation and saying it did thing.
I think that this app is definitely for a niche market. That's for sure.
Yeah, people that like G.G. Allen and can read. It's a very small overlap.
This is true. I would say, actually, in Michael's defense on this one, even if it did only do one thing, it's actually easier to press a button on an app than to go to a website to have that same one thing done.
I didn't get apps until I had an Android phone. Like, I was like, why do you have a Facebook app and a Twitter app? Why don't you just have a browser? They all have browsers, but actually apps are generally, it's a kind of neat idea. They're made to work better on that. They're optimized for that.
Apps are dying though. Apps will disappear in the next 5 years.
Oh, I disagree with you totally.
It will look like their apps still exist, but what they're going to do is that they are converting over to web
software pages as a service.
Web pages that look like apps, and you won't know the difference.
See, I would disagree with that because one of my biggest complaints with the two major operating systems on computers has been that they are shifting the look, feel, and functionality of these operating systems to be all app-based. Because apps are all self-contained.
Yeah, Windows 10 looks like apps.
It looks like a tablet.
But you can change it to not do that. Like, you can change
Isn't that what I just said? That there will no longer be apps, but if they will look like apps...
Well, it is though.
That's what he said.
But if you use the newer versions of Windows and even Apple products, everything's app based. Yeah, it's all there we go. Speaking of Apple, I think when we get back, we have something to discuss about Apple. A legal matter, maybe.
Maybe so.
And I was wrong. I will tell you why I was wrong. I was wrong when we get back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Isn't that an app that only does one thing, Randy? It does one thing. What's wrong with doing one thing? Like aspirin. It only does one thing, but it works and it's cheap and, you know, it works. Theme phone only does one thing.
And it's awesome.
Lawyers only do one thing and bill you for it. Lots of money. No, that's. Hey, here's how I was wrong. So I was talking to So two of the Freedom Fiends went to law school, but only one is an attorney. Randy, you there, Randy?
Yes, yes, of course.
Somebody's echoing. Who's echoing? Yeah, stop echoing. But the other one is Angela Keaton. Did you know that she went to graduated from law school, Randy?
I think I knew that. I think I knew that. Yeah. Yeah, you can go to law school and then do something else.
And run antiwar.com.
I don't know why anyone would want to be a member of the bar unless they had to do their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a pain in the behind.
It's pain in the Bahamas. So yes. I said to her recently that she could practice, that California, where she lives, you can practice law if you go to law school, graduate, and don't pass the bar. I had it backwards.
It's exactly backwards, yes.
Yep. In California, backwards. You can pass the bar without going to law. Like, you can just take the bar, and you're an attorney if you pass it. But it's an extraordinarily difficult bar, so it's hard to have passed without going to law school.
And the passage rate is abysmally low in California, at least last time I looked at that. Because of all the people, anyone can take it. Now, I personally think that's a better way to do it. I mean, I would like to get rid of occupational licensing completely, but to get rid of the biggest hurdle, you know, law school, why not? I don't care where you got your knowledge. Maybe you watched a lot of trials or something. I don't know.
I watched Matlock every day.
Yeah, or L.A. Law. I heard a murder dog.
I hear a murder dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, anybody listening that has money, I need some more money. Thanks, everyone, for sending me money, but I need more money. This is where you guys laugh. You're supposed to laugh when I do this.
I'm sick of it. I left it in my other pants, yeah.
Because I paid my internet bill for the Freedom Fiends, my hosting bill, but I still have, I'm sending several hundred dollars worth of merch to, I sent it to people for Porkfest, and also sending to Jeremy and Jim. Is it Jeremy and Jim? Who's going to? Yeah, no. Jim Jesus is going to take Fiends and Bipcop merch to give away at Jackfest, and I'm sending stuff to Lou. Quit breathing. I hear you breathing. To give away at the Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. So help me out with that, y'all. Send me money, please. Thank you.
The money. What you when your internet? You're just like, you get they charge you more that because you do the show or how does that work?
I pay well more hosting. Than what
hosting. No, for the website. Okay. Well.
Well, I also, if anyone wants to chip in for this, I actually also pay $49 a month. So like 500 a month. What's that per year? 600, 600 something, 700, I think. What's 12 now? It's 600.
600. Yeah.
I pay $600 a year extra to have a dedicated DSL line for Fiend Phone because I'm helping run a show here. That's why I never crap out. But yep, worms.
Y'all well, it's very important. It's very important.
And y'all could beg for that too.
You know, I've only crapped out like one time.
I know you have good, really good internets. You know why though? Because the middle of the country actually has the better internets. I hear Jeremy breathing. I think that's Jeremy. Are you just sighing? Like, ugh, Michael's talking.
Ugh. Yeah, you caught me.
Yeah. So, yeah, because the internet actually is like middle out in America. Like the Kansas, is it Kansas City? There's somewhere around there that has like the bulk of the tree of the internet. It's in the middle of America.
All over Kansas City, they have that huge Google optic fiber.
That's it.
That costs like 50 cents a month or something. It's insane.
I know.
Yeah,
Austin has it too. But you know, speed isn't necessarily synonymous with great connectivity for VoIP like Fiend Phone, because DSL actually does Fiend Phone better than like cable internet, and cable internet's much faster. But DSL is dedicated. Like you don't share it with your neighbors. You have your own line for it, your own phone number for it.
Yeah, it's probably not a problem after midnight, though.
No, it doesn't tend to be.
It depends. They throttle it around me after hours.
It is in Kensington. Steve Miller drops out all the time. He buffers hard on Kenny G, though.
What does that mean?
Obama's a socialist and he stinks.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to The Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah.
Can you get it?
Yeah.
There's got to be a one of them.
Yeah. All right. So, you guys, did you guys see this thing that was going around, Telegraph UK article, actor Mark Ruffalo on terrorist watch list?
Well, I saw the meme.
What did he do?
I saw the headline. Well,
what was the meme?
Just that he was put on the terrorist watch list for going to or hosting a screening of, I can't remember, it was some fluoride. Gasland. Or was it Gasland? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was about the dangers of drilling for natural gas, a documentary that he hosted. Yep. So what do you mean you saw a meme?
Just that people have been posting this meme that he's been put on the terrorist
watch
list.
That's not a meme. That's not a meme. A meme is an image with words on it.
That's what this was, Michael. An image of Mark Ruffalo with saying, you know, this guy was put on a terrorist watch list for hosting.
Are you sure it wasn't? Are you sure it wasn't a picture of him from the Telegraph UK? Like, did someone make a meme of this? I'm just saying, there's a difference.
How old is this story?
Well, recent because it's fairly recent because I've seen.
It's actually not okay.
Well, I was gonna say, isn't people are like, idiots. Like, about 10 years
people
ago
are idiots for sharing this. First of all. Good point. Good call. Good catch. November 2010. So this is almost 6 years old.
Half a dozen years?
Yeah. Like somebody found this and started sharing it again. It went viral. So people are idiots for sharing it for that reason. But people are also idiots because let me read you the entirety of this four tiny paragraphs. The 43-year-old actor was placed on the watch list by Pennsylvania's Office of Homeland Security after he arranged screenings of the Gasland documentary. And then they talk about how the film won Sundance Film Festival. In Pennsylvania, the film, written and directed by Josh Fox, shows a resident who's able to set fire to his tap water. I remember that.
Yep.
I thought that was actually for something about fracking. Oh, is that
That's what the documentary is about.
Actually, that scene was filmed 40 miles from me. It says it's in Pennsylvania, but that scene was in Converse County or Natrona County, Wyoming, where the water was set on fire. But and then it says what Ruffalo was in, what films he was in. So that's the whole article. There's no like even indication of proof that he was placed on it because of screening this Gasland. It basically, this reminds me of the joke meme article I posted to myself a couple of years ago when I had a cyst removed on my face, on my cheek, and I had like 6 stitches, and it made my whole face swell up. It looked like I'd had the crap beat out of me. And the morning before I went to have that outpatient procedure, I had done this interview on some leftist radio station in California. I'd done a phone, telephone, Skype interview where this leftist just like told me why we need more government, and I tried to argue with him. That was the last time I argued with anybody about, you know, politics. Now I just argue with my friends who believe the same things I do on this show. But I posted a picture of me after that surgery where I looked like I was beat up with the headline, radio host receives 6 stitches after argument with leftist.
I remember that.
Yeah. And everyone shared it. A lot of people shared it. And a lot of people like actually believed like I got beat up on the street arguing with leftist. But I didn't claim that. The article explained clearly what happened. This morning, I went on a radio show and argued with leftist. This afternoon, I had a procedure to remove a cyst on my face and had 6 stitches. You know, so this Mark Ruffalo article from 6 years ago that everyone's sharing, like, look what the government did to you today. Like, it doesn't say anything of cause and effect. It says he was placed on a watch list after he arranged screenings of the Gasland documentary. Like, I'm not...
Which is technically true, right?
It's technically true, yeah, okay. But it's everyone shared it. Like, this is proof the government's horrible. Okay, here's the thing, people. The government really is horrible. Every government really is horrible. Share stuff that really proves that, you know, that has all the facts and the ducks in a row.
Well, this goes back to a complaint I think I've had that we've talked about on past shows, is that everyone, well, not everyone, but it's a very big trend nowadays to just post memes and pictures with words and, you know, that sort of thing to illustrate your point and get your ideas across. And that's all good and well, and I can see the effectiveness of that, but rarely do people post actual worded opinions or, you know.
Wait, are you saying you think people should have an attention span longer than 10 words?
I'm not saying people should anything. I'm just saying that's a complaint I have that.
I blame the internet.
Well, yeah. It's so much easier. So you can see why, with that trend continuing, that people would just go and run with this because it confirms their bias. It doesn't matter if it's
I told you, I talked last night about when I was the age of these kids that are sharing these memes, what it took to troll somebody. And I talked about the time that my girlfriend and I decided to troll my friend Little Mike's dad and Little Mike. And she spent 5 hours doing a painting of the dad with balls on it. And I walked 2 miles in the heat uphill to his office to pretend to be a messenger and deliver it and pretend it was from Mike. And then Mike didn't even see the painting or, no picture of it. No, he saw it like months later when he went home for Thanksgiving. He took a picture of it, sent it off to the drugstore to get developed. Yes, that's a thing. You used to take a picture and wait a week.
Yep.
Kids today don't know that you used to have to wait a week to see a picture and pay money for the film and the developing. And then Mike took the picture and lost it and didn't find it until 28 years later. Last week, he found the picture, took a picture of it with his cell phone and sent it to me. And that's what I posted. So, yeah, when I was your age, kids, to troll people, you had to spend 5 hours doing a painting and then walk uphill in the heat to do it. Wasn't that easy? Of course, people like read books back then, too, and wrote books. Now they just make memes. I like memes, though. I'm not.
They have their place.
But I've embraced the memes.
Yeah, they have their place. It's just that a lot of times, like you were saying, I don't think there's a lot of backup to it, and people just run with it sometimes. I'm guilty of it. Well, I mean,
Obama got elected on one word, pretty much. Yep. He got elected on change. Oh, speaking of being black, which is what really got him elected, today I did a survey. I got a phone call around dinner time, and it was a survey. I've never done one of those. I always hang up on them. But it was a survey about my doctor. It was like measuring the performance of my doctor. And I looked up the company and the phone number while I was, before I did it. And it was legit, you know, and it was like the medical holding company that owns my doctor's office was doing a survey on his performance. He's the best doctor I've ever had. He's amazing. He really cares. He really listens. He's, you know, he doesn't think he's God. You know, like he like trusts input from the patient. I like him a lot. So I actually spent 8 minutes. I said, how long is the survey? They said 8 minutes. I did the survey. At the end of it, they said, what is your race? I'm going to read off a list. You can pick one or more of them. I picked white and African. So I've officially done that since I'm 164th black. I have done that now on a survey. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep. I'm black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. I'm bliggity black and I'm black, y'all. Yeah. All right. So next topic.
Next topic. All right. Well, I guess we were going to talk about IP and.
You do?
All the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
On the air, even.
All right. But, go ahead. Intellectual property. Why it's bad. What's a bad idea and ruins the world?
So there's an article on Recode.net, Apple versus Samsung, Supreme Court trolling total costs. And it's the article.
Supreme Court trolling.
Yeah.
Total costs.
They're totally trolling. That's all they do. Yeah. We'll get
the comma was in the wrong place there. It sounded like the Supreme Court is trolling total costs. Mm. But it's no, the total cost of trolling the Supreme Court.
Yep. So startups.
What do you mean they're trolling total
I'm just
cost.
Reading the link. The link,
okay.
So people know how to look it up. The actual
Apple and Samsung are trolling each other through the Supreme Court. This is an article about the total costs of what they're spending on that, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
See, that's good radio. Don't bury the lead. All right, go on.
So, startups.
It's a teaching hospital, man.
Startups should black, be watching. As the Supreme Court decides the Apple versus
Samsung. Hey, Randy,
Samsung.
Are you going to take mushrooms like Jim Jesus did on the radio sometime? He did last night. The whole show, he was giggling his butt off on psychedelic mushrooms.
Well, I don't even
supposedly,
know if I have any.
Allegedly.
I have any button mushrooms. I have to check the cabinet.
If you do, let me know ahead of time.
G.G. Allen's grave. Someone should plant them, put spores of them on G.G. Allen's grave. Go on. Sorry. I'll shut up.
No, you won't.
No. Oh, he's good. So Randy, what do you think about this whole thing?
Are you holding the talking stick now?
No, I'm handing the talking stick to you. It's the stick of truth.
You're talking about the lawsuit between Apple and Samsung. And it seems to me that Apple is trolling Samsung because the lawsuit, apparently Apple was awarded damages for an infringement on its patents by Samsung on the smartphones, right? Have I got that part right?
I believe
yes. And aside from how much we all uniformly hate IP, but let's pretend for a moment that IP is a thing and you can talk about it. Under IP, you when you measure the damages when someone has infringed your patent or your copyright or whatever, your patent, you could ask for the damages that you suffered from them using this invention that you came up with, and maybe it would be how much money it had cost you by them infringing, or maybe how much it would have cost the other guy if he had paid a standard sort of licensing fee to use that invention. But that's not what the court awarded Apple. I think what they did was awarded them all profits.
It's made. Called total profit damage.
Okay, the profits that Samsung made from selling this phone, even though the infringing item may have been one thing out of 1,000 on that phone. So, you know, if it was $1,000, you know, well, it isn't $1,000 per phone, but maybe it was $100 per phone, then Apple should have only got a dime, but they got the 100. And the Supreme Court is going to decide whether that flies or not, because the Court of Appeals says it's great. We love it. Total profits.
And so it's now, insane. I agree. It is very insane. And
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary kitty. I like the purr just before the roar. So
the Freedom Fiends are back.
We left off and we're getting ready to slam Apple because they're making it so easy these days. But so there's a Supreme Court decision and they're talking about total profits. And if we're reading this right, like what did you say, Randy, that they award them what now?
Well, you could, whenever someone has harmed somebody else, you know, you file a lawsuit against somebody, normally there's a money damages, how much you damaged me. And if you infringed someone's patent, well, you could say a measure of damages would be, well, you stole this idea from me. How much did that cost me? How much did that hurt me?
Right.
And that would be a small amount. If you stole some little feature that Apple had on a cell phone, on a smartphone, and, Apple could say, well, that we would have charged you 50 cents, you know, for every phone to use that feature. Or you cost us a dollar for every phone that you use that on in competition against us, then that would be the damages. A buck per phone times a million phones is $1 million. Take your $1 million and go away.
Right.
But Apple wanted and got from, I think, the trial court and from the Court of Appeals, the one right to the level below the Supreme Court, Apple got... they got every nickel that Samsung made on every single phone that was infringing, which could be, I don't know how much money it is. Is it $100 or I don't know.
Well,
it's a lot more.
$100 a piece.
Yeah, I remember in the last ruling against Samsung, they had to pay Apple and they sent two dump trucks full of pennies to pay Apple, and they paid them all in pennies. Do you guys remember that?
I heard about it. I never looked further into it, but that's awesome.
Now, one thing about the case, I wouldn't assume that the Supreme Court was on the side of the total profits, though, because the Supreme Court never takes a case unless it wants to.
Yeah.
And they looked at the decision in the Court of Appeals, and they said, whoa, we need to take this case. So who knows? They may have taken it for the express purpose of overturning it, which I hope they do.
Well, yeah. I mean, you would hope so, because, I mean, they do get things, I guess, quote-unquote, right every once in a while. And because the problem with this is it would set a precedent that would just destroy everybody.
Yeah,
not just Samsung. Because the article talks about it, would destroy people even getting into the markets in the first place, because just the threat of it happening. Because, I mean, there's what? It says 250,000 patents on the average smartphone alone.
That's ridiculous.
Any one of those patents could set you off in the same situation Samsung's in, you know, for in any part of the tech industry.
Yeah, so it's a negative. It's a negative economic incentive.
Oh, completely a negative. It's on so many levels.
Yeah, and patent trolls are a big enough problem anyway. Companies that just pick up patents and then go and try and find someone who is arguably infringing that patent. And it's one thing to go around and say, "Well, I have this little patent, and if I could find you, I could get a nickel copy of whatever it is that you infringed on." But to get everything, every nickel of profit for every phone,
that's not even right.
It's completely immoral and wrong. I mean, if you just walked into the vault at Apple and stole, you know, $1 per phone, you'd think that you would owe them $1. But no, you owe them $200 per phone. It's insane.
Well, that's
why I wonder if it can last.
If the total profits ruling stands, it's going to kill innovation and job creation. It's going to make it so startups have no incentive to even get in that market, and then Apple will control that market. Then they can charge, you know, $1,000 for a subpar phone. I mean, that's what happens with monopolies. So these patent trolls that are using the courts to their advantage are killing the free market.
IP is horrible, and this is horribler.
Yes.
Can you say?
I love that word, horribler.
Horribler. And the trolls are everywhere, too, not just here. I mean, what was it, Adam? The podcasters went through it.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, with Adam Carolla was the only one who stood up at the time and was like, "No, I'm not going to take it from you guys." And they managed to beat him. You know, it was the same thing over one little thing. They were going to like, "Oh, we're going to own you." And so many people buckle because, you know,
it costs
a lot of money. Because it costs a lot of money to go to court.
Yeah, that's another
all
thing.
Right. The Freedom Fiends on out.
When we get back, we're going to talk about magic parchment.
Worms. Yeah. All right.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite, LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are back for the second hour. Randy,
yay.
Chandler, and I'm Jeremy, and we were talking magic parchments during the break.
Oh, it kills me.
So you had something to say about that, right, Chandler?
Yep, so I went to a barbecue with some friends. I got a friend that does a 4th of July barbecue every year. And luckily, it's not all flag wavings in America. It's usually homemade fireworks, beer, and lots of meat, which is cool. Anyway, one of my... Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. We got a guy that makes his own fireworks, and he's actually got a visit from the FBI before.
Whoa.
But he does it all legally now, you know. But when you order certain products over the internet, even if you have a legal business, you usually get paid a visit just to make sure you're not a terrorist or anything. But that's a whole nother story. So I was talking with a friend of mine who's he's a good cat. He's a liberty-minded person. He's very economically literate. He's a follower of Ron Paul and that sort of thing. But we got talking, and he worships the parchment, man. He loves the Constitution. And, you know, he doesn't understand anarchism and voluntarism. I kind of tried to explain that a little bit to him, but he kept coming back to the Constitution and, you know, how we need rules and enforcers and yada, yada, yada. And he just thinks that the Constitution is the greatest document ever written, you know, and because it limits government. And I said to him, well, how's that working? You know, he's like, well, just because the federal government isn't interpreting it right doesn't make it a bad document. And I said, well, I beg to differ. You know, I read this book, and I plug this book all the time, and I'm going to do it again. Hologram of Liberty by Kenneth Royce, a.k.a. Boston Tea Party. It's Hologram of Liberty, the Constitution's Shocking Alliance with Big Government. That book, I don't think, is meant to make a bunch of anarchists, but once I finished that book, that was it. I became an anarchist. So anyway, he just kept coming back with, you know, the Constitution limits the federal government, and it's just that they're not interpreting it right. And I brought up the Commerce Clause and the General Welfare Clause and how that was specifically worded in the legal language of the time to enable the government to grow as big and tyrannical as it is. And he just kept saying, oh, 10th Amendment, 10th Amendment. And I'm like, yeah, how's that working for you? So, I mean, Randy, You understand the law.
I don't know if I do, but...
Well, you have a better understanding.
What's your problem with the Constitution there?
Yeah, well, what would you say if you were involved in that conversation?
Well, you know, two issues, of course, that you brought up. One was, okay, you know, for argument's sake, let's just all imagine, let's pull out a copy of the Constitution and everybody bow down before it and how wonderful it is and everything. And then you step up and go, yeah, well, how's it working? Well, that's really a very relevant question because even if you think it was an act of genius that was brought down by angels and given to the founding fathers, it failed. It failed. It's completely, you know, the word would be lame because even if it was beautiful, it has fallen on its face because it hasn't worked. Now, you go further, right, and you say, yeah, well, that was how it was designed.
Yes, I firmly believe that.
You know, and I don't know if I buy, you know, if you're not selling this, but somebody might, that there is this conspiracy. These arguments were made back during the ratification things, and there were people that complained that the General Welfare Clause would do what it ultimately did and what the Commerce Clause would do what it ultimately did. They were not blind, but they lost the argument, right? And they then sure their children, us, lost because exactly what they said would happen did happen. So, you know, I mean, you have different standpoints from it. I don't usually get into the, you know, kind of the fact that it was doomed from, I think it was doomed from the start because I understand what the guy is saying. I used to be one of those who would like, if you would just get back to the original intention, the original meaning of the Constitution, it'd be okay. But at some point you say, okay, first of all, it's never going to happen. So you might as well get off of that shtick. If you think you're going to roll back the clock, it won't happen. But also let's just be kind and very optimistic and say we do roll back the clock. Well, what do you think is going to happen 10 years later? It didn't take 10 years for Washington to cause the Whiskey Rebellion after they ratified the Constitution. Yep. So it'll take zero time for everything to start to unravel, even if we can roll back the clock to 1789.
Yes.
So the thing is hopeless. It's completely hopeless.
Well, one of the things I said to him, I was losing the battle. Granted, I was very tired. I had been up 15 hours, and I had had a few beers, and I was getting a little rambunctious. So my debating skills and my fact recollection wasn't as stellar as it usually is. But one of the things I mentioned to him was a quote by Lysander Spooner, who I am very surprised he had never heard of. It just astonished me. But
He's not very well known outside of our circles. I've
learned. Yeah, that's true. But, you know, being a Ron Paul guy, I figured he'd know who Lysander Spooner was.
Could be, sure. That's reasonable.
Yeah. But hadn't heard the post office story and hadn't heard the famous quote, the Constitution has either authorized such a government as we have had or it has been powerless to prevent it. So I sent him No Treason. You know, I said, read this. You know, it's not very long. You know, if I can't get you to read Hologram of Liberty, read this, and we'll see. Now, one of the things that it really astonished me was, I said, as far as documents go, I'm kind of a fan of the Declaration of Independence. And he's like, oh, I hate that document. Nothing but a bunch of whiners. And I'm like, okay, that kind of cleared it for me. He loves the Constitution, but he thinks that
he loved King George then, apparently.
Yeah, you know, but the Declaration of Independence is nothing but a bunch of whiners. And I'm like, really, dude? You know, that document, as imperfect as most documents are and ideas, that really made some good points about individual liberties, you know, and being able to step away from the bonds that bind you to despots and that sort of thing. So I guess once he said that, I knew it was a losing battle. But it just it frustrates me to see people believe that this magic piece of paper is going to restrain this entity. And the other point I made was, you know, we got into the history of how the Constitution came about and how it was supposed to be just amended Articles of Confederation and all that. And then I said, you know, what about... I totally lost it now.
Did you have some question about early on the role of the Supreme Court or something?
Oh yeah.
Early, was that right?
Yeah, and that's kind of where I wanted to go with this, right? So, when you consider the Constitution and the federal government, who is the ultimate arbiter of what is considered constitutional or legal and appropriate and correct?
Yeah.
It's the Supreme Court. Now, what is the Supreme Court part of?
Part of the government.
Yes, it's part of the federal government. So to me, that kind of seems like the fox guarding the hen house, doesn't it?
It really kind of is. And that's actually, you know, the thing, this goes back to the case from 1803. Everybody's heard of Marbury versus Madison, right?
Yes.
Which was, it was the very first case where the Supreme Court overturned a statute passed by Congress saying that it was unconstitutional. And it doesn't matter. Marbury was some guy who wanted to be a judge, and they passed some legislation at the last second when John Adams was president. And somehow he didn't get his appointment in time. And Jefferson came in, and then he was trying to force somebody to give the Secretary of State to give him the appointment he'd been given under the previous president. Well, anyway, he went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison declared that this law that Congress had passed at the last minute was unconstitutional, and which allowed this Marbury to bring this case to the Supreme Court, and they tossed it out and said, no, that the law that allowed you to come here to us is unconstitutional.
Fiend phone.
Hello? That was weird.
Yeah, I think we lost the feed for a minute there.
Okay. So are we back on?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to assume, just because that's the best way to do radio, that we still are broadcasting.
And we were talking about, where were we?
We were talking about Marbury versus Madison. But the whole thing, again, I try, when talking about these things, I try to keep it simple, because as we talked in the last hour, the average person's attention span is very short nowadays, right? So it comes down to freedom. And do you want to have rulers? And the point that my friend kept making was, well, in your ideal utopia, who's going to enforce these things? And I talked about traditions and moral standards and shaming and that sort of thing. And he just couldn't get behind that. You know, you need this centralized form of government. And I said, well, you know, originally the colonies had no central government and they functioned fairly well voluntarily trading with each other, you know,
sure.
mutual interests.
Sure.
So why can't we get back to that? You know, everyone says we want to get back to the good old days. To me, that was the good old days.
Well, yeah. Well, you don't even have to go even that far back, because you can go back to the quote-unquote Wild West, which, you know, wasn't really that wild and was kind of the same thing. People who moved out there didn't have the government. They were going out there to get away from the government, and they were surviving quite nicely without them just ignoring the system. Yep. Why don't we go back to that? I'm all for that.
Well, that's the thing. I hear music. I guess we're going to the market. We're going to the free market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Worried about Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Segment, we were making fun of the whole parchment worship, you know, thinking the Constitution is this wonderful thing. And lo and behold, we got drone bombed, and our resident legal expert, he must have got droned because he's not back yet. So I guess that's what happens when you challenge the magic parchment. They drone you.
Yes. See, it's funny. It seems to happen a lot. A couple times Lisa and I were talking about the FDA. We got droned during that.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I don't like it when we talk about them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole point of the last segment that I was trying to make is whether you believe in the validity of the Constitution or not, you know, limiting the powers of the federal government. How's that working out for you? And to kind of lead into that a little more, we all know that the government is just a horrible thing. All governments are, like Michael said earlier. But we're reading an article from cracked.com, which, by the way, is such a great site. You guys should check it out. I mean, they really go above and beyond sometimes. It's a lot of the stuff is entertaining, and some of it's kind of freaky. But we're reading an article right now called Five Eerie Conspiracy Theories That Were Right All Along. And number four, which is just horrifying, but is actually true, is the U.S. military stole dead babies to do experiments. Now, the conspiracy theory goes like this. This theory takes many forms, but it all comes back to the idea that in some secret government lab, they're doing human experimentation without our knowledge. If it was an episode of The X-Files, it probably involves some shady secret agency collecting DNA samples from the public to breed with aliens or create super soldiers or some nonsense. But the reality is that imagine you're a parent who's lost an infant, then found out after death a government agent sneaked in and stole parts from it for experimentation. This actually happened a lot under a project called Project Sunrise. During the 1950s, the U.S. government was interested in how fallout from nuclear weapons would affect human bodies and whether nuclear testing would be a hazard to human health. That's a valid concern. They needed to get tissue samples from humans to test, and since most people would have objected strenuously to their bones being removed to test for the presence of radioactive isotopes, the government instead targeted a demographic that couldn't put up a fuss, or more importantly, vote. Dead bodies. So the government went grave robbing. Here we'll let one of the project scientists, Dr. Willard Libby, explain. Human samples are of prime importance, and if anyone knows how to do a good job body snatching, they will be really serving their country. That is so creepy. That's a quote from a secret meeting in 1955. He went on to point out that the corpses needed to be young, so most of the bodies were recently deceased infants, often from other countries where that kind of thing was easier to get away with. Yes, consent was of no concern here. One mother named Jean Pritchard gave birth to a stillborn baby in 1957, asked for the body so she could dress it for burial, and was refused. It turns out that they were trying to hide the fact that they had cut off its legs and handed them over for testing. And, yeah, Project Sunrise. And you can actually find that on
Sunshine.
Wikipedia. Sunshine. Sorry, thank you. Yeah, and you can find it on Wikipedia. So There's your magic parchment limiting what the government can do, right?
That is just horrible. I mean, the whole idea about conspiracy theories, I mean, the whole term was designed to disparage people because things like this happen and, you know, people just say, oh, that could never happen. They would never do that. Well, no, they did. And, you know, you have that power. When you have this power because people believe that you have this power, it's inevitable that you and everybody else who works with you will keep going further and further and further and as much as you can get away with. And, you know, you can do this type of stuff. You can do anything. I mean, gosh. That's just crazy. Imagine that. The story about that mother. That's like horrible.
Yeah.
You want to have this baby and it's stillborn. Like, okay, at the very least, I could give it a proper burial. No, you can't have your kid back. Why? Yeah. You just can't. I'm sorry.
Oh. Yeah, no reason or justification, but then we find out later. And, you know, I don't know. I want to talk a little bit more when we come back from the break about the justifications for these actions that governments use and how absurd they are.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
We're too busy talking to be talking with you. Talking about tech stuff.
These are important topics, Trevor.
Yes, they are.
They need to be discussed.
Yes, we need to learn how to use these programs so we don't have... I still say it was program error. I'm with you, man. But anyway, so we were talking last segment about this horrible, horrible government program called Project Sunshine, which involves stealing dead babies to test the effects of radiation. Just horrible.
Well, no. In all fairness, they didn't steal the babies. They just stole parts of the babies.
Yeah. Oh, that makes it that much better. Oh, yeah. So,
for accuracy's sake.
Yeah. So I've been watching this show, and I don't know if I've talked about it yet. But I've got a new favorite show. It's called The Blacklist, and it's with James Spader. And he's this horrible crime like international crime lord that you just can't help but love. It's kind of like The Sopranos, where you know how horrible Tony Soprano is, but you can't help love him. He's that tragic hero type of thing. And it's a really good show. And one of the things I've noticed with this show and, you know, shows in the past, like 24 and stuff, I like all that stuff, how easy the government will justify breaking their own rules and infringing upon the rights of anyone. And it's done with two words. Can you guess what they are?
National security.
That's it. All they have to say is national security, and they can basically disregard any freedoms, any individual liberties, any rules they write. That's all it takes. And people think that this is a fairly new phenomenon that has happened after 9/11. But if you look back in history, it's really not a new phenomenon. I mean, you look at World War I. And over 17,000 Americans were jailed because of their vocal and, you know, publications opposition to World War I and Woodrow Wilson's policies. Mm-hmm. And it threatened the national security. So these people's individual liberties were just revoked and they were thrown in prison. And the government took actions that were just anathema to freedom and liberty, all under the guise of national security. So how's that magic parchment working out for you?
Yeah, right. Well, that whole situation, which is funny because I don't recall learning about that in history class. That was something I had to pick up later on. But that was just a, you know, revisitation of the Alien Sedition Acts, which, you know, which you mentioned earlier. I think it was you that mentioned earlier about Washington. Yep. And the fact that, you know, the Whiskey Rebellion, well, shortly after Washington, the Whiskey Rebellion was Adams and the Alien and Sedition Acts, which did the same exact thing, punish people. Well, actually, that was even worse. That was just punishing people for speaking bad about him.
Yep.
And, you know, and the presidency. And again, just willy-nilly, whatever they want. And just like everything else, the idea of national security back when people thought that things were still all hunky-dory and that the Constitution was still working to a certain extent seemed like a good idea because, you know, you want to be protected from people who want to hurt everybody in the country, but it can quickly be abused like anything else, which, like the Constitution itself, which for all the great words people think they have in it, it only takes a couple of it to make it completely a blueprint for tyranny. You know, Congress shall have the power to... That phrase right there alone, forget about even the other clauses, just that phrase right alone, the fact that it has that phrase in it at all, who gave him the power?
Well, that reminds me, I remember what I brain farted in the last segment there when I lost it. I asked my friend, and I said, you know, when you're talking about the Constitution and governments in general, doesn't matter if it's the United States or whatever, if you have a group of individuals, right? Let's say you, me, and Michael and Randy, and you know, we're sitting here thinking how we're gonna start this new great thing, right? I don't have the power to say to you, hey, Jeremy, I need to tax you for you know, whatever. I don't know, whatever. Your sign on your yard is too far over or whatever. I'm going to tax you for it. I don't have the right to do that as an individual. I don't have the right to steal that money from you. Mm-hmm. So how did these folks get together and create this collective idea that they call a government and grant it rights that they didn't as individuals possess? And that's one of the things my friend couldn't answer. He was kind of stumped on that, and he kind of came, well, you know what he said, right? What do they always say? The roads. The roads.
Did he?
Well, pretty much. Well, you know, for the collective good, we need to, you know, to maintain the infrastructure. Blah 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 blah.
Which is not an answer to the question. It's a deflection.
Exactly.
It's a goalpost move. It's any one of like three or four fallacies all rolled into one.
Well, and that's the thing, and I guess people can't get their brains wrapped around that. That if you don't have the right to do something, how can you create an entity that has that right? You know, it kind of goes back to that whole, like, I know a lot of the leftists are really against the corporations and being people, and I can see the merit in their arguments and everything. There's some legitimacy to that. So if you want to apply that argument, how can you grant a government the right to do these things? To me, there's no difference.
Yeah, I don't think so either in that regard. And it's funny because I present the same exact question to people when it comes down to it, especially constitutionalists who I deal with. And you're right, they always deflect and they always move. They can't answer it because in order to actually sit and honestly examine that question and give it a thoughtful response is to challenge your entire worldview.
Yeah.
When it comes to the political sphere that you live in. Like that, that is a very daunting task.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, it is. And so I can understand why people hesitate to answer it. And I, you know, I've seen it too. I see the same deflections from people. I see the same, you know, hesitation. And I, like I said, I ask that question. I ask it in a very specific way. And it's, you know, I try to give them the out by saying, sure, you can do this to, you know, for yourself. You can, you know, subject yourself to being taxed and whatever. Sure, absolutely. You have every right to do that. But how can you do it for anybody else besides you?
Exactly.
You know, and it's and again, they don't want to answer it because it hurts. It hurts to think about that. I was
it's
there.
Logic.
I
get it. It's logic.
It
we
is.
We can't have logic. Statists have no logic. I have a friend who's not into politics or whatever, and she posted this thing about just how she's noticed how awful governments have come. And, you know, she's like, how can they do this? And it doesn't seem right. And I'm like, look, you're trying to apply logic to statists, and that just doesn't work because it's such a double standard. You know, I mean, one of my favorite statists, Michael Badnarik, who I've actually interviewed and talked to a couple of times, and he's a really great guy. On one hand, he'll push the Constitution. He does his Constitution class and everything and how great it is. But he also does extol the virtues of the Declaration of Independence, so he can't be that bad. So on one hand, he'll push this Constitution stuff. But then on the other hand, he has a very simple philosophy, which I love. And it's, don't hurt me and don't take my stuff. And I'm like, that's where you leave it, right there. You know,
yep.
You live your life and govern your principles from that basic tenet, and you're good. So why do you got to get in all this, like, constitution and government stuff, you know? But there's such a disconnect there with people.
Well, yeah, because they've been conditioned to think that it has to be, you know, this way. And anything else, you're being too simplistic. You're not taking all these other things into consideration, which is where the silly things like the roads come into it.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, if you try to say, okay, then let me present the more philosophical approach to you, then it'll be, oh, you're overthinking it. Well, I'm still expressing the same exact thought. It can't be both.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just unwilling to allow another train of thought to enter your mind because it's challenging your worldview. And, you know, what you were describing with your friend earlier, you know, I run into that a lot. I think it was actually Ben Stone. Yeah, because when we interviewed him on my other show, The Seeds of Liberty, he was the one who introduced me to the term backfire effect. I knew the concept, I'd never heard the term. But that's what it is. When you run into that point where people's, you know, their cognitive dissonance is just fully locked in, and you reach the point of diminishing returns where it's like, you're no matter what you say now, it's just going to strengthen them instead of them just shutting down and walking away. It's actually going to make their convictions even stronger.
Oh yeah. It drives their resolve totally. And they just can't let that go.
So it's, you know, there's, That for me, that was one of the hardest things to learn, because I do like, I've always liked to argue. I mean, I was told I should be a lawyer from a very young age, because that's
me too, man. Me,
you know, so which has come in handy and also been a horrible thing for me plenty of times in my life. But you know, I think there's a point I had to get to where I was like, okay, I need to back off in certain situations, and because I had to start recognizing that people were reaching that point. It was hard for me because I just wanted to keep pushing, and it's like time, and you're just making that, you're just convincing them even more so that you're never even, if you ever have a chance with them, you're gonna not even start over, you're gonna start from an even worse position.
Yeah, and you know, I used to argue and do that whole thing like till I was blue in the face, because I have a hard time letting things go too, man. And a very good friend of mine told me once, let all that stuff go. She said the best thing you can do is just plant that seed, and you know, if it's fertile ground, it'll grow, and eventually they'll come around. If not, why do you want to waste your time and your effort with it? And I've really tried to live by that. You know, I've got roped into a few things now and again. I think I got roped into a Facebook gun debate last week where I just wanted to tear my hair out with a very intellectual person who wrote very long posts and sounded very educated and just didn't get it. And, you know, eventually I was like, well, all right, man, I guess we're just going to agree to disagree. And I said, by the way, I love your profile pic. And I shifted the conversation. We started talking about Photoshop and graphics, you know, and it was cool. So that's what you got to do sometimes, man.
No one to fold them.
Yep. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
So, redemption in the third act. Oh, sometimes it's so hard. But I woke up this morning and I saw something that just made my heart feel so good. As many of you longtime Fiend listeners know, I am a avid fan of the metal band Slayer. Remember Diana making fun of me saying that?
Yes.
Porkfest. The band Slayer, one of the greatest, greatest metal bands of all time. And I was on Freedom's Phoenix today, and I saw an article. And apparently Tom Araya, the bassist and lead singer for Slayer, came out at a concert in Switzerland, and he gave a short speech before the song Mandatory Suicide, where he was talking about, he was extolling the virtues of how the Swiss citizens are required to keep and train with arms. And he made the statement that when guns are taken, people effing die. And I was a little surprised, you know, because a lot of times folks in the entertainment industry tend to be more liberal-minded, more statist, and he came out right out and said that people have a right to defend themselves with whatever tools they choose, and having guns is not a bad thing. You know, you are able to defend yourself, your family, your countrymen, what have you. And he was extolling the virtues of the Swiss belief that they should all have guns. And I just thought that was really cool, you know. It's 'cause my other favorite band, Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor has spoken more than once about guns, and I gotta say, I couldn't disagree with him more. So it was really cool to have one of my favorite bands hear him talk about how awesome guns are. So kudos to Slayer and Tom Araya.
Yeah, that's always an encouraging thing, and like you said, especially when it's somebody who you enjoy their work already, because it's so terribly disappointing when it goes the other way, which is usually what happens with, you know, most of the stuff in my life. So these shining moments are definitely a redemption for me. They're happy, because with me, it's like when I was coming to anarchism originally, there was I was in like a country music phase, and then I, you know, realized what was wrong with everything, and what we were talking about earlier with the Constitution and Lysander Spooner and No Treason and all that stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, this is all horrible. And then I go back and listen to all my music, and I'm like, oh, all they talk about is rah-rah America.
I know.
So depressing. So when you find people that stand up, that's why, like, what was it? I mean, I still think he doesn't necessarily mean it all the time, but like somebody like Woody Harrelson has come out and said a lot more things more and more.
Yes.
About, you know, he's actually stated he's an anarchist, but I never actually knew what he meant by that. But, you know, he's been more and more consistent with saying things, so that's encouraging too. So, you know, more and more people are realizing that, and, you know, I think you said it before about people like recognizing that stuff is going wrong, although they just don't put the pieces together yet. But I guess the more people that are figuring out things are going wrong is still better than them not figuring out.
Yeah. I found a really cool one. Another one of my heroes is Stan Lee. He's just amazing, being the comic book fan I am. Now, I don't know if this is true. I really hope it is, but I saw a meme, and it's a quote by him that says, "Every national border in Europe marks a place where two gangs of bandits got too exhausted to kill each other anymore and signed a treaty. Patriotism is the delusion that one of these gang of bandits is better than all the others." Now, whether or not he actually said that, and I really hope he did, I totally agree with that sentiment.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man, people are coming around. It's not all gloom and doom.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
I mean, we'll get there.
Well, I always remind myself that, you know, a little over 3 years ago, I was still just getting there, so.
Yep.
You know, it's, there's hope for me. Somebody who not only loved the Constitution, but like read it to my kids.
Oh, I know.
I have to say that often, just to, as like penance.
Yep.
I'm sorry, kids. I'm sorry, Daddy didn't mean it.
Oh, I know, man. I did the same thing. But all that matters is we're where we are now.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Still,
if I can do it,
truth.
If I can do it, anybody can.
Worms. Good show, brother. Good talking to you.
Yeah, this has been fun.